Hello again, and welcome back to And Then There's That, a bi-weekly podcast of people, politics, and punditry in Howard County on the HOCO Mojo Network. I'm Paul Scalney, and I'm here at Lakeside Cafe in Columbia Town Center with my co-host, Dennis Lane. In a few minutes, we'll be joined by today's guest, Mary Kay Siggety, council chairperson. But first, we'd like to take a closer look at some of the stories in the local news. What do you have to get us started today, Dennis?
Well, you know, Paul, there's lots of things. I made some notes here, and think about the Star Center closing, the Bridge Columbia thing going on, the little Donnybrook between Greg Hamm and Phil Kirsch at the county council work sessions. But you know what? I just can't get out of my head. There's snow in the forecast.
Well, Dennis, I'm just getting back from the Grand Caymans, so you might have to run with this story because I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about snow in Baltimore. And, you know, whenever there's snow, this is certainly not a snow place where we get a lot of snow. But it seems to be that whenever snow is in the forecast in this area, people go into panic mode.
Could you pick it up a little? I need to get out of here and get my toilet paper.
I guarantee you this afternoon at the giant store in Dorsey Search or Wild, I was almost at Wild Lake, that would have been a faux pas, there are people stocking up on toilet paper and milk because they expect a storm tomorrow.
I've always wondered whether people drink more milk and have to use the toilet more often when it snows than when it doesn't.
I've never understood the correlation at all of it. Anyway, so that I know that's not a news story, but I can't get out of my head, and
I'm glad you shared that. Thank you.
Okay.
So, you feel better?
Yeah, I feel better.
Good.
I guess I alluded to it, but, you know, this whole thing with Phil Kirsch, who's the chairman of the Columbia Council, the board of directors of the Columbia Association, he apparently got into it with Greg Hamm the other day in front of the county council at a work session. You know, what is it with these guys? Well, I know what it is with the Columbia Council. First, they don't want to meet with CA, and then they do want to meet with CA, or they don't want to meet with General Growth, and they do want to meet with General Growth, and then when they meet with them, they can't come to any kind of agreement.
They're like little kids in the sandbox, and someone else is taking their toys away.
You know, don't they see that probably this could be very good for the town if they would work together? So I don't get that. All right. So there's that story.
And then there's that.
Well, yeah, there's that. I mean, listen, we could do a whole show about the dysfunction of the Columbia Association and their board of directors.
And we're going
to
do that.
And maybe our guest can shed some light onto that when we get to her. Another thing in the news this week is the closing of the Star Center. I can't remember what the star stands for.
Star.
Sexual trauma and anyway, this.
Mary Kay, Mary Kay's coming on a minute. She's looking at us like we're crazy. Why don't you know what STAR stands for? What does it stand for?
I believe it stands for sexual trauma assault. And I forget the two R's.
She's better than we were.
All right.
There's a problem with treatment and recovery.
Oh, thank you. Well, our producer is actually on the board of the Star Center. It's a sexual trauma treatment and recovery center. I've been around this town for a long time. I'm guessing at least 20 years or so that the Star Center's been in existence. And abruptly, at the beginning of the month, they've announced that they're closing their doors.
But Dennis, you know what's interesting about this? And I think this is just the tip of the iceberg. Nonprofits today are really struggling. And I think this is a sign of things to come. There are a lot of nonprofits in town that are looking for alternative forms of raising money. The well's dry out there, and you just can't get it in the same place that you once could.
You know, and I hear you. I mean, everybody's struggling. I mean, your private businesses are struggling, so the nonprofits are going to struggle as a result. And I think we're going to see that across the board with donations to the Columbia Foundation and probably to the Columbia Festival of Arts, too, which is, I know the festival is in the middle of their main fundraising push right now for something that's going to happen next June. And I can imagine they're running up against the wall with fundraising. Another story in the news this week is the Bridge Columbia effort. I understand from our producer that there is a potential of receiving some federal funding, stimulus money for this. Apparently the project has gotten some attention from other quarters.
Shovel-ready project.
You know, one pundit once said the road to hell is a shovel-ready project. So you know, I don't know if that applies to Bridge Columbia, but
well, at least some of the other you know, at least this bridge does need to be replaced. A lot of the other shovel-ready projects meant repaving roads that were repaved 6 months ago.
Right. Yeah, this would be a great development for Columbia. It would, you know, for the longest time, the two sides of Columbia have really been separated by 29. It's this chasm in between the two sides, and I think the best thing that ever happened to Oakland Mills would be to connect it to Town Center. So that was a positive development. One other thing that I wanted to bring up. Last night, on my way to the library, I live in Ellicott City, as you know. I'm coming down the hill, and I turn onto Main Street. And Main Street right now exudes the holiday spirit. The storefronts are all decorated up. There's lights in the store. I mean, there's wreaths hanging on everything. You really feel like it's the holidays.
And I think Midnight Madness is actually tonight.
Midnight Madness is tonight, and Santa arrives by parade tomorrow in Columbia. You don't see anything. You could look out here at the Town Center Plaza right outside the Lakeside Cafe here, and you wouldn't see a wreath.
Who would have thought that Ellicott City would have fulfilled Jim Rouse's dream?
So, anyway, I know that not a whole lot on the news front, but that just struck me, and it should be a fun night in Ellicott City tonight. And hopefully, as maybe Town Center moves forward, we'll see more of a town feel. You know, you get out. I don't know. You know, it really struck me last night. Ellicott City felt festive. It felt like here's a vibrant, if you will, most overused word, vibrant community, and you just don't get that feeling unless you walk into the mall.
Speaking of festive, Mary Kay's sporting a nice festive attire today.
She is. She's got a red on. She's looking very festive.
Very festive. Mary Kay, welcome.
Thank you.
We're joined today by Mary Kay Siggety, Council Chairwoman of the Howard County Council. We thank you for being here today.
I'm glad to.
Appreciate that.
Council for District 4.
Four.
District 4, yes.
And are in District 4.
We are in District 4, and in District 4 it encompasses all of Town Center.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, Mary Kay, we appreciate you joining us. As you know, we like to kind of get into some of the local issues and in politics of what's going on. And I just wanted to start off by saying, and we've had this conversation before at cocktail parties or whatever, that I've kind of come 180 degrees on your politics. I was pretty
she
much...
She has, too.
Well, you know, let's be very clear. That would not be the case.
And let me explain. There was a time, I'm going to say three or four, well, actually, when you were running for your council seat,
mm-hmm.
that the hottest issue was this 22-story... 23-story...
Skyscraper.
The skyscraper in Columbia Town Center, the Plaza Residences. It was going to be developed by WCI Communities. They had secured their building permit, and all of a sudden there was an outcry that 23 stories was way too high for a town center. And you were leading the charge to derail that project.
Yes.
And yet now, here we come, and we're almost to the beginning of another election cycle, and you are actually leading the charge for Columbia's redevelopment, where the minimum building heights in the plans of General Gross would be 120 feet, and there'll be quite a few neighborhoods. I think three of the proposed neighborhoods will have buildings up to 250 feet, which is pretty comparable to where the Plaza Tower was.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it begs the question, who put what in your Wheaties to make you change your mind?
Well, first of all, I don't eat Wheaties. But
they're good for you. You ought to consider that.
There you go.
Breakfast
but
of champions.
More importantly, well, there you go. More importantly, I think, in all of this is that I have, from the very beginning and as part of that project, been a proponent of really good planning. And so that particular project, to my eye and the eye of many, represented a piecemeal look or way of developing our town center. And if one of the things that people don't remember in all of this is when the legislation that I put forward was put forward that sadly didn't make it, I had indicated in there that the height limit that I was proposing was current with what's currently here and would in fact sunset upon
the adoption. You're
referring
to the American City Building that we're sitting in.
No, the tallest one that currently exists here, which is the brick building over on the corner where the bank is.
Which
30 corporate?
30 corporate. 10, oh, yeah, that'd be 30 corporate center. Yes,
I'm afraid I don't know the numbers, but I can describe the buildings.
Right. But.
And that I had been very clear that any height limit that we put in place with that legislation would sunset once we had a plan for downtown Columbia.
But, Mary Kay, what was the magic of that height? It was no more arbitrary than what a lot of people argued the 23-story building would have been. It's 18, 20, 23...
It's also location. And I think the location was very difficult to deal with.
Well, I think Mary Kay speaks to it. I mean, it was piecemeal development. And, you know, we can get into that, too. That, as I said, I had a conversation last night at the wonderful party that Paul's law firm held last night with a former development director for the Rouse Company.
Mm-hmm.
And that really, up until General Growth entered onto the scene, that's what we had, was piecemeal development.
Absolutely. For at least the last 15 or 20 years.
Yeah, for at least, yeah. And probably one of the most compelling arguments for this town center, and I guess that's how you got to where you are, is this is good planning.
This is good planning, yes.
Okay.
So it doesn't take Wheaties for good planning. That's good to know.
Well, you know, and we talk about good planning. Can you maybe speak to a little bit? And you were at that work session when Greg and Phil kind of went back, had a little back and forth. You know, can you? What's going on there? How can these two parties that have so much to gain by working together, but they just can't seem to get on the same page? And I don't want you to say who's to blame or. But are there some systematic things that are broken here? That
well, I think that what we have to remember is that in pursuit of good planning, General Growth Properties made a proposal that utilized Columbia Association property.
Correct.
Without all of the pre-conversations that would need to go on to get cooperation and buy-in on ideas for moving forward.
But weren't they precluded by the board? Didn't even want them talking to General Growth in the early days?
Well, there was some of that, yes. But I don't know if that came after the plan was actually unveiled or preliminarily to the... I don't know exactly that time frame.
The timing, uh-huh.
Right, but I think that is set up a massive... reason for mistrust.
And I think it comes down to communication. And I think if they found a better way to communicate and found a way to build that trust between them, I think they would realize that this really does benefit all parties. It really does.
I would hope so, because when I look at it, I certainly can see that it would benefit all of us. And as a lien payer here, I look at the possibilities for downtown Columbia and for CA overall as a real positive.
You know, I'm going to go off on a tangent here. No surprise there. Because you mentioned lien payer, and this is kind of one of my pet peeves about Columbia. Of course, the Columbia Association, the board, the Columbia Council, is the board of directors of this $50 million, $60 million homeowner association. But clearly about a quarter of their revenue, or maybe even more than a quarter of revenue, comes from commercial properties,
mm-hmm,
who have no say in the governance of the association. You know, so I'm wondering, are there some structural problems in the way CA is set up that preclude it from being an effective partner?
Are they incented to listen to business? Are they incented to have business have a voice in looking at their strategic objectives and goals going forward?
I would say currently that's not the case. I know, and I need to put it this way. I know in Wild Lake, because I want to speak specifically,
sure,
about Wild Lake because I live there. Our Columbia, our CA rep, is elected once a year, as in all villages. But in Wild Lake, the commercial properties actually have voting rights. So they can vote in the local election that would, in fact, establishes a village board as well as determines who is the Columbia representative.
So Kimco has a vote?
Yes.
Okay.
But traditionally, they have cast their votes with the winning side.
Right.
They basically haven't used the votes in a way that would be contrary to what residents are saying.
Sure. And now, the commercial section of Wild Lake is very small in comparison to Columbia as a whole.
I mean, Well, yes and no. In addition, Wild Lake contains the commercial properties that are on the Wild Lake side of Little Patuxent Parkway between Governor Warfield and Harper's Farm.
Well, that's true. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. Okay. So, and they all have votes.
Yeah. Property owners have votes.
I did not realize it. Okay.
But at the end of the day, the people that are electing these people are the residents,
true,
by and large. So
true.
They're going to do what they need to do to keep their constituents happy and to get reelected if that's what they're looking to do. It's no different than any politician from a lot of perspectives. The businesses tend to be large financial supporters and donors, but the individuals are really the ones that are electing our politicians and putting them into office.
Well, you know, you speak about elections. Mary Kay, and I'm sure as a good politician, you know, how many votes are cast for the county council in Wild Lake? In a typical election, roughly.
You know, I really, I don't remember.
It's got to be more than 200.
It is absolutely more than 200. And,
but yes, that's about as many as you're going to expect for a Columbia Council.
In most villages, this last one in Wild Lake, we had 500 or 600.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Well, of course, that was a contested election. Yeah, it was a contested election. And I guess that's part of the problem, and what, again, kind of what we're about here is raising awareness so that maybe more people get involved.
But yeah,
because certainly more people are aware of your office and who you are, mm-hmm, than they know who Phil Kirsch is.
I would say that's true. Yeah.
So, Mary Kay, 6 months ago, the thought of 5,500 units in town center, residential units, were taboo. In fact, I think our county executive, Ken Allman, is on record saying that 5,500 is preposterous.
Ludicrous.
Ludicrous. Excuse me. It's one of those big adjectives.
One of those us. Yeah, that was ludicrous.
So now there's talk of maybe 5,500 isn't even enough, and we ought to be exploring and looking at a greater number. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes. I think that it's really hard to imagine. It's hard for all of us to imagine what 5,500 units would look like, but it's not so hard for us to actually think about what are the things we'd like to see come along with the density or the program that we're talking about, and then trying to analyze whether or not the what we're interested in seeing develop as part of our community can actually be supported by the development program. And that's certainly some of the questions that my colleagues and I are asking. You know, what is important to us? One of the things that is extremely important to the community, and they said over and over and over again, is improving our transit options, not just biking and walking, but actually bus and opportunities there. And so when you start looking at communities that support transit, you have to start looking at whether or not the development program is big enough to do that. So, again, it's balancing those priorities.
I guess getting those 5,500 units in place would help get that 400 or 500 number of votes up a little bit. I would hope.
Right. You know, and you mentioned transit. One of the things that the opponents of this plan are hanging their hat on is this the third interchange. Mm-hmm. To 29 in town center. Could you speak to that a little bit as to where exactly is that the Broken Land Parkway interchange they're talking about?
Actually, it's an interchange that would be in conjunction with the South Entrance Road.
Okay. Which is
because
kind of the Broken Land area, I guess.
Correct. But and that certainly we had our work session was a lot on traffic this last one, and we had very specific conversations about how much development could happen without looking at the third interchange. We recognized that it would depend on how many people we could get out of cars and into other types of transportation, and when it would happen. Ultimately, if without a major shift in modes, we will in fact need a third way out of Columbia, because we have a third way in already. We have a third way in and out if you're southbound. We need the in and out if you're northbound on 29.
Well, you know, I go back to when there was a time when you could actually drive using the back roads, get from Oakland Mills over to Town Center by actually crossing over 29. I can't remember the name of the road. They've since cul-de-sac'd it. Our producer is wet and shaking his head. He remembers back those days. But there's actually more travel between Town Center and Oakland Mills back then. So
mm-hmm. We might need to get our producer a microphone for our next show.
Actually, I think that road would have been Owen Brown Road.
No, it wasn't. No, that was further down. This was actually cut through, came through Stevens Forest.
Right.
And River Meadow, I want to say, was the name of the road, but I could be wrong. But,
oh, that one, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It got cut off when 29 was redone, and, mm-hmm. and the Broken Land Parkway intersection was put in. I guess really that begs the question: is do we really, by planning a third interchange, are we like saying, well, in the future, Town Center will still be dependent upon the car, or do we really need to think outside the box of more interchanges and more? And go more to like what Bridge Columbia is proposing of a more mass transit oriented situation?
Well, I think that we're actually going to have to do that. I think that what we have to start thinking about actually right now is how do we connect Columbia to other major centers and centers for jobs as well as centers where people live.
Main Street, Ellicott City.
Main Street
Elephant Sanctuary. That really wasn't what I was thinking of. I was actually thinking about Fort Meade. How do we make a really strong connection to Fort Meade? How do we make a really strong connection to Washington? How do we make a really strong... And these are all transit connections. These are not...
And BWI Airport, I suppose. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. BWI Marshall Airport.
Yeah. Right.
The whole process of the town center, the hearings, your work sessions, reflecting back now, forget the planning board, but the process that the county council went through, good experience, bumps in the road. What are your thoughts now reflecting back on that? Because I think from a business community's perspective, I think that was actually handled very effectively.
Well, I think that my colleagues would agree that we are the work that we're doing is exciting, is rewarding, and the amount of time that we're putting into it to make sure that we've looked at all of the parts and pieces is time that we must do, as well as because, as you know, we have a very active community that will hold us accountable if we don't take a look at everything.
So let's go there for a second. So earlier this week, I understand that some of the opponents of town center development asked for a meeting. And there were a number of council members that participated in that meeting. Mm-hmm. Who actually participated in that?
That would be Jen Tarasa, Calvin Ball, and myself.
So my understanding is that that actually constitutes a quorum.
It does.
Okay. So was that an officially called council meeting?
No, it was actually a request by the Howard County Citizens Association, who had sent us really extensive testimony and suggestions for changing the legislation to come in and discuss with us what they meant by the changes so that we could understand it. And when we have any time we have more than two of us in the room, we have to let people know that we're actually having a meeting, and so that anybody can come and watch.
And did that actually happen?
Yes, it
okay.
did.
Got
it did.
Yeah, okay.
And it was, and as with all situations like that, as I see it, they're all really valuable because it's very interesting how easy it is to misinterpret the written word, and when you can actually have a back and forth conversation, understandings are created much, much better.
Well, that was my impression from sitting in the public hearings that I did. First of all, I commend all of the members of the council for sitting through hours and hours and hours of public testimony, and some
sometimes
of it
sometimes very entertaining.
Some of it very entertaining. Some of it you sit there and you shake your head, going, "What the?" But then there's that. But I actually think that this is cathartic for a community to have this kind of a hearing to get all sides on the table. And I thought that I really did, kudos to the council. I thought they handled that very well. And even the ones that seemed way, way off the wall, you seem to have addressed it very nicely.
May I say something about that?
Of course.
Thank you.
Would we stop you?
Well, you know, it's your show.
Turn off our mic, quick.
What I really want to say is that I find value in absolutely everything that's said, because you never can tell where there's a kernel of a solution that you haven't been looking for. And so you may hear the same thing over and over and over again, but there could be, and you never know where it's coming.
A kernel of a solution. I like that.
Really. And I found that more times than not. And so it's really, really valuable to have multiple brains working on a project.
Well, you know, and what I saw from some of these hearings and the ones I went through, there's a lot of passion out there.
There certainly is.
And with passion sometimes comes a little irrationality. And I wonder, are you worried about security?
No, I'm not.
You know,
but then you have to remember, I live in Wild Lake.
You live in Wild Lake, but I know. I mean, we were just wondering because our county executive has a security detail that follows him to things like the fundraisers at the hospital, which are very dangerous things. We know.
I think Rotary clubs.
That's a hostile situation.
Very hostile.
Very hostile situation. And we're wondering whether the council may be feeling that maybe they might need their own security entourage as well.
Well, let me put it from my perspective. At this point, I have not encountered a situation where I've felt endangered.
That might change after this show that we do.
It could. And then I'm going to be coming to you guys to provide.
Our tax dollars are all gone. End of the year is coming up. I understand, if I'm not mistaken, that the council has elections.
Correct.
Looking at the upcoming year. What is the state of that? When does that election take place? And what's the inside scoop on who's succeeding your tough role?
Well, the election will be on Monday, and the inside scoop is stay tuned.
Spoken like a good politician, right?
And as we wrap up, I always like to, I did it with Dennis, and I have to... Mary Ken, I've talked about this. We share a Jesuit education in common. You went to Boston College.
I did indeed.
Well, Boston College had a football game a couple weekends ago. It was the last game for Maryland, I believe.
I believe so.
Did your husband go to Maryland?
No, he went to Boston College as well.
Oh, good. So that must have been okay in your house.
It was okay.
How does that stand in your neighborhood, though, with all the other Maryland fans? They don't know.
You know, Boston College was my first choice to go to law school, and I think I'm still on the waiting list.
Well, again, I'd like to thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to following the travails of the county council as they go through this process towards February and finalizing the GGP plan for Town Center.
Our next guest will actually be Vic Broccolino from Howard County General Hospital, President and CEO, and that'll be coming up in the middle of December.
On December 18th.
December 18th. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for the invitation.
Okay, Dennis, we're here on our next segment of our show, and then there's that. And the segment is called What Do You Know? And we walk around Lakeside Cafe here in Town Center, Columbia, and we ask patrons questions of the week. We have with us here today
David Youngman.
David, thank you for joining us. And, you know, it's our understanding from the forecast that we have a dusting plan for tomorrow. We were wondering what you and your family were going to do to plan for this first snowfall event of the season.
Well, this is the first I've heard of it, but I'm contemplating canceling the rest of my plan so I can get right off to the Safeway and get my toilet paper and my bread and milk. Maybe go buy some salt, make sure I have my snow tires on, and I think I'll be okay. I might worry about it a little bit tonight.
Does your family drink more milk during snowstorms than during sunny days?
Probably not. I fear so much the horror of running out of milk during a snow day.
It's just the thing to do.
Yeah, everybody else does it. I don't want to be left out.
Thank you, David.
Hi, what's your name?
Hi, Nancy Bellamy.
Hi, Nancy. Nancy, do you know there's snow in the forecast?
I had heard that on the weekend. Wintry mix.
And will you be making any special preparations for that?
Actually, probably, yeah, because I do have to do some driving, so I'm going to, be cautious.
Be cautious, but you won't be running to the grocery store to get some supplies?
I already went to the store.
Thank you. Hi, your name?
Tim Abel.
Hi, Tim. Tim, there's snow in the forecast for the weekend. Did you know that?
I hope not.
Why? Do you have plans?
No, I hate snow.
You hate snow. Do you live locally?
I do. I live in Ellicott City.
Will you be making any special preparations now that you know there's snow in the forecast?
No, I guess I'm just going to prepare for the honey-do list item that'll be shoveling the driveway. So,
and have you got the shovels out already?
Yeah, we've got them. I say them. I don't know why we have more than one because, it's my job.
You're not a snowblower guy.
Actually, we've been discussing it. We would probably go electric, though.
Yeah, I have an electric snowblower. Go gas.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, environmentalist here, so it's one of the factors. So
you'll move more snow with a shovel than that electric snowblower.
You think so?
Absolutely. Trust me on this one.
I'll just check the return policy first.
Okay. Hi, how are you doing today? What's your name?
Ken Stewart. Doing well. Thanks.
Nice to meet you. Did you hear there's snow in the forecast?
Yes.
Okay. We're wondering, are you making any special preparations to get ready for our first snowfall of the year?
I'm a big skier. I'll be out in the slopes as soon as the snow starts falling.
Okay. And how about the bread and the milk? Have you made your run to the grocery store yet?
I don't believe in that. I'm used to snow from Chicago, so.
Thank God we finally found one.
We finally found a northerner. What do you think of the way people handle snow around here in Baltimore?
Oh, it's ridiculous. Half an inch of snow. My schools are closing. My schedule's falling out of whack. And I used to walk to school, as you all probably did, in 8-9 inches of snow every day. So the half an inch doesn't faze me. So I wait to see it until it aggregates before I change my plans at all.
When you walked to school, was it barefoot and uphill both ways?
No, but that's what I tell my kids.
Would it be fair to say that the locals are snow wimps?
That's fair to say. I might use stronger terms, but that's accurate.
Thank you very much. Happy holidays to you.